Huh? Loud? Okay. Just checking. See that? But thanks, Dr. Dean. Good. Good word. Okay, so I'm going to switch gears a little bit this morning. First of all, I want to say something. We were hearing Governor Scott say again and again and again before the hurricane. By the way, and he did a great job as governor. He really did a real good job, didn't he? He did a great job, and he spoke to the people, and he was honest with everyone, and we could really feel his heart. He did a really good job as our governor in the state of Florida. And I heard him say this over and over again, and it's really true. He said, remember, he said it a couple of different ways, but basically he would say, your possessions you can always replace. But he said, you know, your life, you can't replace your life. And he said this over and over again, and I understood he wanted to get people to shift their priorities on, oh my goodness, my priorities, I want to stay here in my home and I don't want to leave them. And he wanted people to shift their priority to safety for myself, safety for my family, safety for my kids. And so it was good that he would repeat this every time he got up before the cameras to say that. So, you know, as I was listening to this, I said, you know, I want to give a message, and I'm going to go sort of one step further a little bit this morning, and we can shift our priorities even just a little bit more to the other, in the other direction. Because this morning I want to talk about investing. This was Hurricane Irma was a real threat to all of our possessions and to our lives. Some of us had electric. We were fortunate. We were in our daughter's home. We didn't lose any electric at all. My daughter and son-in-law decided to go over to Orlando. And they lost their electric for 4 days. They should have stayed at their home. But the thing is, we're blessed because we're here today. Even though a lot of our people are still up out of the state or out of the area, and they haven't been back yet, and they're dealing with situations in their lives. So, you know, we knew that we were going to have a small service today, and it wasn't going to be quite the way we normally have it. But let me tell you, we've been keeping in touch with some of our congregations, our Messianic congregations and synagogues around the Southeast via my rabbi's forum, and we have a bunch of congregations that they still don't have their electric, or they have their electric but they had a lot of water damage, and they can't have, this is their second week in the row that they won't have a Shabbat service. And I'm going to be honest with you, you know, many times we work week to week with our offerings and our tithes. And so when we don't take up our tithes and our offerings, there are some smaller congregations and they're financially hurting. You know, because they'll have 2 weeks where they don't have any money that's coming in, and then it's hard for them to take care of things where money needs to be going out. So we're blessed today because we are here together. We do have electric. We do have air conditioning, praise God. We had minimal water damage. And so that is just a great blessing for us. But I want to talk about investing. I realize that some people today are earning and receiving just enough to live day to day, no less having enough money to do investing on the side, or to do investments, or maybe to put a little money away each week or every few weeks in the bank for savings or for emergencies. I understand that there are a lot of people today that they make just enough to get by. If you fall into that category, it is important for you, it's important for all of us to realize that tithing should be considered one of the basics. Just as we say, well, we have enough money coming in for our basics. But what God wants us to realize is tithing is one of our basics.
Amen.
So it should be part of our budget. It should be part of the things that we put in, and we realize this is what God wants us to do. It's part of our basic expenses. People that are on a fixed income, and you know, because we're in the state of Florida, we hear it a lot, people say they're on a fixed income. But people that have to understand, people that are on a fixed income, of course, everything is relative. Because honestly, to be honest with you, there are people that are retired four-star generals out there, and they get a pension every month from the government, and they get their Medicare, and they say, I'm on a fixed income. It's relative to the person that only gets their Social Security, and they don't have any other income coming in. So everything is relative. But that term fixed income, the thing is, people on a fixed income, all of us that are on a fixed income, you are on a fixed income according to the world. You are on a fixed income. And I say that this morning because you're not on a fixed income according to the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? We need to have that priority shift a little bit this morning. We possess man's greatest asset. We have everlasting life through Messiah Yeshua. It's the best asset that man could have. It's the best prize that anyone could get. It's greater than the publisher's clearinghouse. And now you see the commercials, you will get $1,000 a day for the rest of your life. Oy. Okay, but understand, in God's kingdom, what we have received is better than publisher's clearinghouse. It is greater, much greater than that. You know, we see the movies, Twilight Zone. You know, we always watch the marathon during the beginning of the year. Twilight Zone, Rod Serling had all these themed shows on selling your soul to the devil. You know, and you see this in movies. People will sell their soul to the devil for everlasting life. Forget about it. You don't need that. You don't need to sell your soul to the devil. God has given us everlasting life through Messiah Yeshua. So we don't have to sign anything in blood to the devil. We have man's greatest asset. You know, I said this before that we have to realize that investing in the kingdom of God should be our number one priority, investing in the kingdom of God. And so that's really what I want to talk about this morning. Investing in the kingdom of God. As investing money means that we take our extra that we have, that's investing in the world, right? When you have a little extra money, if you can, and you've met your expenses, you put that away, maybe in the bank or wherever, you know, you want to sometimes, you know, get a little growth on it. That's our investing. So investing in the world is when it's extra money that we have. Investing in God's kingdom means using extra also, but it's extra above your basics. That's investing in the kingdom of God. Basics are tithing. Investing in the kingdom of God goes above the basics. In the same way, we should give our time, our resources, certainly, and our talents. You know, our members agree that they are going to support the congregation with our time, our talents, and our tithing. But that time and the talents, this is extra and above. And so when we give our time and our talents for the kingdom of God, whether it's at our congregation on a congregational level, or where we do it for other people, we do it for the Lord. We're doing things above the basics. So we are investing. Just as when we invest money in the world, that money comes from the things above our basics. It's the same way. People will say, you know, but I don't have extra money to invest. And I tell people, I understand that. Give your tithe, and you can invest in other ways. And there are so many ways that we have to invest. God gives us gifts. God gives us talents. He gives us things and time to invest for the kingdom of God. Let's go to our first scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians. Now may he who supplies need to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. We can really look at the fruits of our righteousness in a way. These are our gifts and our talents also as part of that fruits of our righteousness. Fruits of the Spirit, you know, fruits, gifts of the Spirit. We have these things. So once again, he who supplies seed to the sower, God supplies the seed. We are the sowers. And bread for food, supply and may he supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So this is Shaul telling them, may God increase. You are a sower. God gives you the seed. He allows you to sow. And as you sow, may he increase that seed to you. This is Shaul's desire to the Corinthians, in that because they had this new walk with the Lord. But he is saying this right after he said something very, very important. 2 Corinthians 9:6. And this is a couple of verses before this. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And then he says he writes those other words to them. But this is a basic concept that we need to understand. And sometimes people just say, you know, they read it, but they don't want to really believe it. It's not true. But it says, he who sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully is going to reap bountifully. And he's not talking about money here, obviously. He's talking about them using their gifts. He's talking about them using their fruits of righteousness. But he certainly took up offerings. We read about Shaul's travels and how often he took up offerings as he went out of the land, and he would take up offerings with the new believers that are out in the Gentile world, and he would take up offerings to send back to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. So although he is talking about sowing and reaping and gifts, he also was concerned with the money aspect. The money aspect of it. And so we have to understand this thing and put it in a good balance here. God is saying, I'm going to supply the seed, you scatter it. But we know that he is the one that supplies it. And I'm going to make sure that it's increased for you and for others that are going to get the scattering and the blessings from it. God multiplies the seed. And then we have more seed to sow. That's the simple principle. I mean, if you can imagine here, and I put up a little slide just to show as I say this, just for people to really understand. I mean, imagine if you have, let's say with six single kernels of corn, and let's say only four of those kernels of corn out of the six take root and take seed. So I crossed out the last two. So let's say only four of those kernels survive the planting. And from those four kernels, we get four stalks of corn. And out of the stalk, there will be two, maybe three ears of corn. And so there will be approximately a minimum of 800 kernels of corn from the one stalk of corn. And what are we left with? After four stalks, we are left with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kernels of corn. All that started with four individual kernels of corn. As God does physically, as I said so often, God does spiritually. And so in the same way, God allows us to take four kernels of corn and get an abundance of kernels of corn. Well, if we look at this as our sowing, if we are to sow some corn out there, God's word, God's blessings, all about the Lord, about Yeshua, about salvation, about the kingdom of God, God's going to increase that and allow us to do even more. So eventually there'll be a great harvest. I mean, we could look at it in the same way. Wheat, the same way. Wheat, one stalk of wheat contains about 200 grains of wheat. From one stalk of wheat. And so if you take one stalk of wheat and plant all of those 200 grains of wheat, you're going to get 200 times 200. You're going to get 40,000 grains of wheat from one stalk of wheat. So what I'm telling you is, it's not a fairy tale when God says he can increase it. If he could do it with a plant, he can do it with us. He created the plants. He created the wheat. He created the corn. He created the soil. He created the water. So when he tells us these things, that as you sow the seeds that I will give you, that I will give you abundantly an increase to sow. It's not just a story. It's a reality. Because if this is a reality that we see every day, we know that this is a reality. Now, we can do several things about the seed that God gives us. We can eat it. As soon as God gives us, we can eat it. How do we do that? Well, when God gives us a blessing, we can keep it to ourselves. If he gives us a monetary blessing, we can keep it to ourselves. We can run out and buy something at the store. Or what we could do is we could trade it for something that we desire. Instead of spending it, well, we can maybe trade it. But eventually, as we trade it, we get something personally from it. Or we can plant it. We can sow it. When you sow it, you're sowing it into the soil so that it will take root and it will sprout and it will grow up. And then we are investing in ourselves and we are investing in others, and most important, we are investing in the kingdom of God. We have these three basic ways that we can react when God gives us seed. And when I say seed in this, maybe God shows us a blessing in our lives. Well, what do we do with it? Do we keep it for ourselves in some way, directly or indirectly? Or do we then sow it out so that it can bless other people? That's investing in the kingdom of God. If the sower doesn't sow, there is no harvest. Isn't it true? If the farmer doesn't take those kernels of corn and put them in the earth, there's not going to be a harvest of corn. Well, when we go back to Corinthians, we see if you sow sparingly, you are going to reap sparingly. Is it just something that God is telling us to put fear into our lives? No. If the farmer doesn't sow the corn, he's not going to get a harvest of corn. Boom. That's how simple it is. You see? And so we have to look at it. As God does physically, he also does these things, but these are lessons to us in the spiritual world. If we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. Now let's go one more scripture. We'll go to Galatians 6:7. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. I'm going to tell you a little story. A very short story. You know, the guys, they count the tithes and the offerings every week. And every once in a while, I'll just stop in to see how's it going, what are you doing, do you need anything, or, you know, are you got enough, you have enough help. We always have two guys in there counting the offerings and stuff. And what we found is, over time, every once in a while, but it happens a little too often, so they said, you know, it's got to be one person that's doing it. And, you know, to me is, well, all right, they're doing it. It's between them and the Lord. Every once in a while, we believe it's one person. They put an empty envelope in the offering basket. Sealed up, empty. Now, I can only assume they do it because they are ashamed that they're not putting something in the offering basket. So they want the appearance that they're giving an offering, so they put an empty envelope in. Now, if there was an empty envelope in there every once in a while, I would say, oh, maybe the kids put it in or something. But it happens, you know, a little too often. Now, why do I say that this morning? Because that person, they're trying to get away from the appearance. They don't want to be embarrassed. But what they're doing is, this is what the Word of God says. They are mocking God by doing that. I mean, how many of us want to mock the Lord? Oh, not, you know. And you know what? Sometimes we do it without realizing it. But when we think about it, would we knowingly do it? But the thing is, no one in the body of Messiah would want to mock the Lord. And so, don't be deceived, Shaul says. Whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. And so if not only if we are not sowing poorly or not sowing at all, and we're not harvesting or reaping at all, the worst part is we're mocking God by doing that. Because we know what God asks for us. We know what God's principles are. We know that this is a reality of sowing and reaping. We know that it's a reality in the physical and the spiritual world. And so if we know it and we don't do it, it's in a way, it's mocking God. So harvest can be affected. What can affect those four corners? You know, I said you plant six kernels and only four take, and that can happen sometimes. Only four of them will take. But what could stop those, even those four kernels, or what could stop an entire field of seed sown? What could stop it from growing properly and finally having a harvest? Chemicals in the soil can do it. A lack of rain can do it, or too much rain can do it. Poor soil quality in general. The soil has been depleted over and over again. But these things can kill a harvest. We can kill a harvest. We can kill a harvest by our lack of faith. We can kill a harvest by our wrong focus. Yeshua said, seek the kingdom of God first. And our focus isn't on the kingdom of God as a priority, or God as a priority in our lives. So our focus is in the wrong area. And when our focus is wrong, we have a lack of faith, we can kill the harvest. Or not understanding how to handle the spiritual seeds of righteousness or the gifts or the things that God has given us as blessings. And so when we don't use them, we can kill the harvest. If we don't use them the way God intends us. In other words, we use them for ourselves and ourselves only. And in that way, we can kill the harvest. We can destroy the soil, so to speak, the spiritual soil. We can hoard our money. We can take the blessings that God has given us and not in turn bless others with them, but just keep them for ourselves. And also, what can kill the harvest? Just plain selfish motivations. That's all. We're in it for ourselves, and that's it. We don't want to know about the body of Messiah. We don't want to know about that we are family, mishpacha. We don't want to know about that. We just do it, and it's selfish motivations. And all we're concerned with is me, me, me. These are things that can kill the harvest. As we get closer to the season of harvest, we're getting closer to the return of Yeshua. As we get closer to the season, we need to be sowing seeds. Because you need to sow seed in order to have a good harvest. And it's good for us, and it's good for the kingdom. So let's try to, and this is a wonderful time of the year to do this, because we are entering into the days of awe. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur will be next week. These are good times to look and self-search, soul-searching for ourselves. So this is a good time for us to really look about that and look at that. What are we doing? What are we doing for the harvest? How are we handling the seed? What are we doing with the seed? What are we doing that can affect the kingdom of God? And you know, and I said this before, and Dr. Dean just said it this morning, it's true. Adam and Eve did not realize what their little act of rebellion with God, that it would affect for thousands of years, millions of people. They didn't think about that. Now, I don't know if they thought about it and they knew the reality of it, would they have changed their actions? But the thing is, what we do today is going to affect other people. And so what we do sometimes, even with a single seed, can affect a bushel of seed. We don't know that. So this is a good time of the year for us to start thinking about these things and to start thanking God for the blessings that He has given us, and showing the thankfulness that we have by turning and doing something for others, and doing something for the kingdom of God, and doing something for God. God could do everything without us. He doesn't need us. But He sure likes to see that we're willing, ready and willing and able to help Him and His everlasting kingdom. So, Father, we thank You for our word this week, Lord. Once again, we thank You. We are here today. We are safe. We thank You for bringing us together. Our prayers go out to the people that have been devastated in Florida and in Texas. Our prayers go out continually to these people, to the congregations that have been affected. We ask, Lord, that You're going to just bless them and allow them to get up and running so that the Word of God can be put out, Lord, to the communities, Father God, because this is a time when devastation happens like this. So many people that have never turned to You, Lord, so many people will start thinking about You and thinking about life and death and thinking about the reality of Your kingdom. And so at this time, we are ready and willing and able to pray and to spread those seeds and to sow those seeds. And we thank You, Father, for allowing us to be helpers and workers for Your kingdom. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah.